That's fine. The recording has started.
Do you want to do the roll again just so it's on the recording?
This evening we have Ken Bauer on the call, Steve Holston, Chris Chaplow and Julie Headland. Full house.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey guys. Should be a fairly short call, huh?
Well, I guess that depends.
Okay, let me find out on what.
Well, how's your progress, Ken?
Okay, good question. All right. You honestly, I just literally minutes before our 30 minutes before this call, I started with working on the business requirements. I'm about to send you an email with an attachment that Risa was kind enough to forward to me. This is a business requirements template for ICANN. And she and I have had a couple of conversations. It turned out we were in training together in Marina Del Rey last Thursday and Friday. And so during breaks and stuff, we used the opportunity to sort of talk a little bit more about this project. And I confessed to her that the thing that was the most frustrating for me is that our team just isn't making any forward progress. And I presume you, I don't know if you guys share that. I presume you do. But that's, for me, the most frustrating. She resonated with that and said, you know, what can I do to help? And I said, well, I also expressed some frustration around the project charter in that, you know, just sort of getting it to the right level. We need to get it signed so we can get things moving. And she said that she and Joyce would take the responsibility for fixing that, and it wasn't on my shoulders anymore. So I said, that's great. She said, now, if what we can do is have you guys work now on the business requirements, then I can stop worrying about the project charter, at least the ICANN level one, right? Okay, so she sent me this requirements template, and I'm going to send it to you guys. I'm just putting a little message on it. All right. And, Jill, do you want to copy this?
Yeah, that would be great if you could.
Why not, right? All right. I just said, now, so this template has a whole bunch of sections in it. And I think the one that we're going to be responsible for is Section 2, which is the business requirements section. Okay. And Rita and I began talking a little bit about the sort of the high-level construct. And if you, when you open this document up, you'll see that Section 2, it has business function, and then Requirement 1, Requirement 2, Requirement 3, and so forth. Then there's another heading, and it has headings in there for administration, reporting, my data migration. There are some that are endemic, is that right, the right word, to every project, and so those headings will almost be in every single one, right? It may turn out that if there is no data to be migrated, well, then you'd say that section is empty, but we will definitely have a data migration and some requirements around that. So I am actually beginning now to create, draft up, high-level statements that can go in this document. And how fast can I get a draft to you guys? It'll be a few days.
Yes, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But it won't be. I will have nothing by next Wednesday. That's not an option. So between now and next Wednesday, well, what is Wednesday? I'm looking at that is our deadline.
Today.
27th.
I'm sorry. Today's the 20th, right? Okay, so we wanted to have this done by the 27th, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So we could do with it before the weekend, couldn't we?
Yeah. Sorry. So I think we just had this incredible rash of important documents that had to be written, most of that drafting falls to my shoulders in preparation for various structural improvements and board meetings and all this other stuff. And actually, the board meets the 21st, and I don't think there's anything else for us to write at the moment. But, Julie, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. So I really want to spend most of the next couple of days really working on this this document. And so why don't I say I'll have something that I can send to you by Friday the 22nd, even if it's a work in progress.
Yes,
okay.
I think, yeah. Wherever you're at, by Friday night,
yeah.
I think,
and
you know, bang yourself
and
over.
Our
and
job will be to, you know, wordsmith and make sure that we say. Now, Rita did tell me, she said, look, you know, you don't have to write anything like 12 pages of requirements here. If we end up with a dozen, even 24, a dozen or two requirements at the business level, that's it. That's probably all we're going to need. Let me just take an example, okay? Let's talk about data migration. Now, I'm not going to write what the requirement is, but this would be an example to illustrate. The GNSO needs every document on its current website to be available in the new website with all links that continuing to work as they do today.
Yeah.
That's the state. That's it. That's an example of a business requirement for data migration. And we don't have to say a whole lot more about it. Now, if it turned out, for example, that the condition was a little bit more sort of compound. Let me use an example. The GNSO needs to have all policy development documents transferred or migrated to the new website, and any non-policy document that's newer than January 1, 2006. Right? That's another example of the type of requirement we could end up with. And I don't even know if you and I, if the three of us, could even write that one, but we can create one and then try to ask Denise and Rob and other people in the GNSO, Avery and the council and some other people, like, what is the correct answer to that question? All right. But our job would be to at least get something in that section that says we need a requirement for data migration.
Yes.
Okay. So that's
my perspective on all of this is that firstly, I appreciate that you continue to be the one taking the laboring oar. And then second, I share the frustration with you that this seems to be a battle of form over substance. It is, are we taking the Penelope document? Are we loading it into the Mason document? Are we using what's now a new template for business requirements? I don't particularly care which document or template or form we put that into, so long as we get something in there that says we want a easy-to-navigate website with, as you say, continued links to all the old documents and this, that, and the other. So in order, we've got this continuing chicken and egg issue about writing the specs as business ones rather than as actual features. And I don't particularly care how we surmount that so that we can actually get off and running and make the kind of progress. And I sense your shared frustration in that battle over what form this all takes and the ultimate end game, which is having the three of us anyhow start looking at the actual features and the actual top or left navigation, et cetera, is a desire to actually make substantive progress as opposed to procedural and form kind of progress. So I guess continued thanks for trying to work this issue, and if we can check what seems to be a box-checking exercise, getting the business features done, then we can continue to move along.
Right. And that has been the problem, challenge, and most of the lack of progress is due to my not having the time to do it. But at some point, you know, it's like anything else. You get close to the deadline, and everything else moves down in priority, and that goes all the way to the top. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Do you have anything you wanted to add, Chris?
Yes. I mean, it's often like that, isn't it? You know, as much gets accomplished in the last week as the previous five or so. But that document, that template, does look to be a great help. Just quickly looking at it and seeing the way it's laid out.
I think it will be fine. And Steve, just to pick up on something he said, there may very well be a few, or maybe even several, of the statements in the Penelope document that can be lifted and dropped into that template without a lot of wordsmithing. And again, I might drop them in there and just ask you guys to help with the wordsmithing, right?
Yes.
Because not everything in that document was trash. There's a lot of good thought that went into that. And I think it's just too low a level of detail for what we have to do here. But that doesn't mean we can't still borrow and use a lot of what's in there.
Yeah, and don't forget to borrow from the incomplete charter as well, because there were some useful phrases and things in there as well.
Right. And there were also some statements that we discovered that we could use from the Drupal site.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's in some ways, I don't think I have to do a tremendous amount of creative writing here, as much as I have to just repackage things and put them into the right buckets and get them at the right level. This leveling question is a little tricky, but recently I had enough discussion in Marina Del Rey that I think I'm now better calibrated to what that level is. It's kind of ethereal a little, but you know, it's what would the business say it needed, not what do you need technically, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, things like users should be able from any page to find their way back to the home page easily. You know, that's a business requirement.
And it seems like inventing the wheel.
What's that?
It seems like reinventing the wheel in some regards if you have to state that kind of thing for a website.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. But I'll use a different example to illustrate even why something as simple as that that it's being requested. So let's say that we had a website like Amazon.com that has to sell things on the website, right? So there are capabilities that websites have that we don't need in the GNSO. So we wouldn't write a requirement that says, oh, and the website has to have the ability for users to go on and buy things and use their credit card to pay for them. So I agree with you. There's a set of common things that probably all websites have to do, and maybe that somebody should write those and everybody should just duplicate them. But I haven't been able to find that document around yet. But once you move past those, you get into a number of other functional areas, and you know we wouldn't need that requirement.
Yeah, I was more optimistic and heartened when it looked like we were going to be able to take the features off the Drupal site and basically list those out. Even though we all acknowledged that was kind of the shortest distance between two points and not purely a business requirement. And I guess we're taking a step back a little bit by going to that business requirement level. And I understand the need to do it from a process and other standpoint. So I'm fine with that. And I guess as long as you have the bandwidth and the stout heart necessary to start tackling all this stuff, then I will express my appreciation again, because it's easy from the sidelines to say you don't like how it's going or that you'd like more progress, but you're the one who's actually got the task of rolling up your sleeves. So.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment. Absolutely.
You're welcome. Where are we with the content? Well, the document management, is that, can you remind me, is that within what we're doing now in our sub-team? Has that got to go into this document, or is that something aside?
Yeah, it would be out of scope for phase one.
Right.
Along with collaboration.
Would be out of scope for phase one. So the scope for this effort is to get our arms around the web site, what's needed in the architecture to deliver the information that the GNSO needs, that's a high level requirement, what is the purpose of this website, what is the business need for it to even exist, and I'll try to write some statements around that, but we're going to confine ourselves largely to the set of capabilities that Drupal has native, rather than try to write a set of requirements that said things like, the organization needs the ability to collaborate on Microsoft Word documents that allow individual revisionist edits to be appear to each person in a different color. We could write some kind of a need like that, but there isn't a solution in the market that will provide it.
Right.
So what we'll do is we'll get this capability, we'll get the website developed, we'll get it a good taxonomy, a good navigation system, we'll get the essential functions that we need just that they have today, except that there'll be some other really super capabilities under the covers, like if we put all of the data, all of the documents in a database, this business of being able to share them. So there will be a requirement that I'll write that says the GNSO requires that its documents as housed in its website, its new website, are shareable as shareable content to other ICANN websites. Right, that would be the business requirement. How it gets implemented will be probably through a database, but we don't have to say that.
Okay, got it. That's great.
But I think the requirements around collaboration and document management we can leave out of this setup. And I'm told by the architecture people that failing to write them in doesn't preclude them from being added later. Drupal is at least an open enough platform and environment that, if somebody comes up with a really good collaboration solution, it can fit in one way or another through a third-party application or through some kind of an integration effort or something along those lines. People don't seem to be worried that going into a Drupal environment cuts off the organization's ability to grow its feature set down the road.
Okay.
Now, that that's an interesting question, because there are some platforms that might exactly do that. Like Microsoft SharePoint, even though it has a wider range of features, it would cut off the ability to bring Macintosh users in, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
okay. Now, what do you think? Because I'm inclined to let you get to your task, which is writing like crazy in the next 2 days. What do you think Chris and I can do to be helpful, or is it continuing to try and familiarize ourselves? Chris is already pretty familiar, but familiarize ourselves with Drupal as a leapfrog step to the next portion of the task, or is it to sit tight and get ready with our editing pens?
If you have an opportunity, as we talked about last time, to poke around in the Drupal world, that certainly would be helpful, because that's the platform we're going to end up in, and the more we know about it, the better our communication skills will be with Mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a very patient teacher, and he'll guide us carefully through this process. But the more we know about it, I think the better the whole thing will just go.
Got it.
I don't know if it would make sense for either of you guys if you want to start this or not, but. You know, at some point, we're going to have to tackle the taxonomy question. You know, what would the top layer and what would the left side look like on the GNSO website? And there are some techniques out there for doing that. You know, you take all of the bits of content on the site. You describe them. You say, okay, well, there's a whole section that deals with board reports, and then there's another section that deals with, you know, background information, and there's another whole thing that deals with this and that and this and that. And, you know, you put them all on like 3x5 cards, and you lay them on the floor, and you say, okay, this one and that one, they belong together. You know, they're both orange, and these over here, they're yellow, and they should go together. And then when you get all said and done, you say, okay, now my yellow group, that. The best title I could come up with for all those is yellow, and that becomes a top level. You know, that's one of the approaches they recommend for building taxonomies. Is you start at the absolute bottom layer, and you just infer the structure, induce it, if you will, from the smallest elements.
Right.
The other way to do it, of course, is to go top down, and then after you finish building your top level structure. You look at all the details and say, does this fit? And if it doesn't fit, then you have to build a new category, and that would be the deductive approach, I guess.
Chris, how did you approach that in doing your website? Was it top down or just trial and error? Or?
Well, the present Angelistry.com website has just grown historically, so it, nothing like that's really been done to it. The new version that sort of very slowly and played under construction, we did it just like that with the cards, and we took every sort of subject area we could think of, you know, hotels, accommodation, car hire, places, bird watching, you name it, and put them all on little business cards that people had left the company on the back of the business cards, sort of shuffled them all up, put them in the boardroom. And then somebody had a go at it, and then different people were invited to come in and try and sort the cards, and a sort of consensus came out of it. It was quite a lengthy exercise. That's probably the proper way to do it. What I've done, on and off over the last week, I didn't go to anything like that, Dave, but I took two large A3 sheets of paper, stuck them together, and sort of tried doodling and writing boxes on it with what I thought were probably the main headings, not hugely different from what is it Mark has done on the test website, and tried to put obvious things under those headings, and then other things up in the top right which seem to be the FAQ and the contact us and the glossary and things like that, and then in the middle a whole load of other things I didn't really know where to put them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I mean,
that's
a beautiful description of what I had tried to say a few minutes ago. It was an excellent example. That's exactly how they discuss it, and I've never actually done anything quite that elaborate. I did. If you look on the GNSO website, you'll see on the very left side there's a link called GNSO Improvements Home, and if you happen to have that up on, and you click on that page that opens up with the higher level boxes across the top and drop down menus, I built that site, that mini site. It's actually called by Mark and Company. That's the mini GNSO improvement site within the GNSO structure.
Yes.
To build that taxonomy, I did do some of this. I mean, I started with a piece of paper, like you said, and I said, okay, well, we have board reports, and we have this, and we have that, and then I just sort of built, through inductive reasoning, I built this whole top-level structure. And then an interesting thing happened. We asked, actually, one of our colleagues who's on the phone today, Julie Hedlund, we wrote six, I think I wrote six instructions, say, go find the BGC report from February 8th, 19th, right? Without a search engine. And I think there were about five or six of those, right, Julie?
Yeah, that's right.
And so Julie went off to try to find these things. And she came back and said, well, I would have looked for this under there. I would have found it. And as a result of her involvement, we actually changed some of the top layer structures and some of what was down in the town. And that's what Chris was talking about with consensus is it does take a number of different people to go at it. And each one brings a little something different to it. And it gets stronger each time somebody weighs in.
Yes. Is this? Do you think this taxonomy is going to come into the report that we're doing, that you're drafting out at the moment, or is that something?
No. I think there will be a high-level requirement that says the documentation and the data on the website, the GNSO requires that it be easy to find things, and that they be structured in a logical, coherent manner that minimizes the number of clicks to find anything, or something like that.
Right.
Right. And then, so if I turn that requirement over to you, you'd say, oh, okay, let's sit down and try to make as few buckets as we can that will capture things, and then sub-buckets under those so that it becomes easy for people to find things.
Yeah. What has occurred to me, obviously, in doing all these headings, is that there'll be certainly a requirement for some sort of copywriter or journalist to help hold it all together. Because it's not just simply taking all the resources that are now in existence and putting them, you know, click, just sort of just clicks apart. It's not just going to quite work like that. So I don't know, again, is that part of the business requirements or...
I'm not sure. Could you describe that again?
Yes. Just trying to think of an example. A lot of the current GNSO site, when you look at the individual elements of it, it's just long lists of documents and things like that, and there's no explanation about what it is or why it's there. There isn't really a proper about us. There isn't draft documents. I'm just trying to... what I'm saying is, it's with the taxonomy,
mm-hmm.
Say the council. Under the council, you might have members, participants, resolutions, elections. But we're going to need some text, the final, to actually explain or put little introductory text at the top of the pages to explain what's following.
Oh, I see, yes. yeah, I don't know whether it will require the level of a journalist, but yeah, there probably is going to be some drafting, writing tasks to... On the GNSO improvement site, you'll notice that the very first page that it takes you to is kind of a about us. It doesn't have that title, but you know, it says this mini that mini site is described. It tells you a little bit about what the top level structure is and what you can find there, and it gives you some guidelines. It is a little bit descriptive as to what is in this mini site, and that you're right. I think the GNSO website in general lacks that kind of textual explanation or guidance or helpful hints, some things like that.
Yes.
But I don't think we'll have any trouble finding people who can help draft some of that stuff.
Right. And also on an ongoing basis, it's not just simply launching it, is it? It's as the more information is added, there will be a requirement to, you know, write stuff, not just for webmasters to bang up documents.
Yep. One of the requirements that we will end up putting in the template is, and I don't know if this is under administration or it'll be in one of those categories, that the GNSO requires that the replacement website have the feature or capability that users, either all or selected group of users, can administer the site independently under certain rules or regulations, right? And so one of the problems we have today is that everything has to be done by Mark and or Mary. And so if I want to make one change to one site, if I just want to capitalize a letter, I have to write an email to Mark or Mary and say, on this page, under this section, under this paragraph, I want to capitalize the letter T. You know, and so otherwise I could just go in and do that, right? Now, part of the reason why explanations and other things maybe don't get done is because they're hard to get done.
Yes.
We just do the things that are absolutely bare required.
Yes.
But if somebody said to me, you know, Ken, it would be nice if you added a sentence or two of explanation to such and such. Oh, I know exactly what I would write. I could go right in and do it.
Yes.
Well, even while the suggestion is being made to me, whereas that's not a capability that exists today. I'd have to write the sentence down, then I have to put it in an email, then I have to send it, and I might go to myself, oh, you know, I'll get to that later. And then later never comes. So that was a long way of saying, I think just the mechanics of how we how we relate to the website itself can also help to bring about more content and better descriptions, just because it gets easier to do.
Good. Well, my intention was to tidy up, you know, the A3 sheets, and I don't know whether to probably put it in an Excel or something, and then at the right time send it off to everybody, and they can start to rip it apart or whatever, or use that.
Yeah, you know, one thing that occurred to me as I listened to you describe what you were working on there is that we might want to actually use something like Adobe Connect for the three or four of us to get together, where we can use a whiteboard and we can post it up, and we can even sort of collaboratively, as long as we have a small number, we can actually sort of move things around and try different ideas out. So one of our sessions, maybe we could do something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, Ken, you and I have the opportunity to be sitting there together as we even do that.
That's right. We can sit on a picnic bench in the Dulles Town Center area and work on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Okay.
Sort of all I have at the moment.
I think that's great. And that's it really is the next step. First things first is getting the document in shape, and then we get to move on to the exciting stuff. Okay, I don't have anything else for the group right now.
No, I think, you know, Ken, you just make a start and send us what you've got by the end of play on Friday. If you find there's whole sections that you really don't fancy or struggle with, you could always email one of us in advance or both of us and say, this one's going to be a bit blank, maybe you want to think about it, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
See how you get on, really, I think, in the morning, and well, this afternoon for you.
Yeah, I still have some time left.
And the good news is this doesn't have to be the full, final, end-all, be-all. It is by its nature a draft and a starting point, and so if you have bracketed and open items, that's okay, as far as I'm concerned.
Great.
Yeah. What will we do then? When we get this draft, will I work in red and Steve in green or something? Or what does one normally do in these collaborative efforts?
If you guys both use Microsoft Word, it has the natural feature that as soon as you open it, it puts you in a color, and I think the other one gets a different color automatically, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Or if nothing else, if you write a comment or if you put something in, it attaches your initials to it.
Right. And I think you, as the keeper of the pen, can take our comments and then assimilate them. Well, I would do mine in the Microsoft Word track changes format, and I think each of us will individually submit the comments rather than doing it sequentially, because I don't think we have time.
No, yeah.
That's right. And one of the things that we do on the policy staff, I brought this little approach, and it seems to work pretty well. If I create a document and I call it business requirements, in parens I put KBV1 if that's my first, and then I close the parens, and that's in the title. And then if Steve grabs that document and he changes it, he goes KBV1-SHV1, and then close parens. So we now know that there's another version out that has Steve's changes in it. It's different than the one that KBV1 was, right? Now, if I take it back and I make more changes to Steve's, I go KBV2. So that everybody knows this is my second shot, and it includes Steve's changes.
Right.
Anyway, this is the protocol we use on the policy staff to, as best we can, keep ourselves from not
okay.
working on the wrong versions.
Right. Oh, well, I'm keen to learn that protocol then.
I'll actually describe it to you when I send my version out.
Right.
Perfect.
All right, guys.
Folks, that sounds great.
Okay, then, yes.
Thanks a lot for the meeting, folks.
Yep.
No, thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you, Julie.
Do you have anything you want to add, Julie, at this
no,
point?
No, you guys have taken care of it all.
You could exhort us, or you could chastise us, or do something, right?
Just keep up the good work.
Yeah.
We've beaten it to death, haven't we? All right. Hey, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Okay, guys.
Much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.